Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If John Kerry looked like he felt pretty at ease in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today during his confirmation hearings to be Secretary of State, that's because he was.
I'm taking it for the Red Sox. I'm taking it for the Patriots. If the standard here is which team you root for, I'm screwed.
Kerry has sat on the powerful Foreign Relations Committee for nearly three decades, most recently as its chairman. And it was in his appearance before that committee in 1971 that put Kerry in the public spotlight for the very first time when he testified as a Vietnam veteran against the Vietnam War.
He referred to that history this morning when a protester interrupted his confirmation hearing before it began.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Mr. Chairman, I, when I first came to Washington and testified, I obviously was testifying as part of a group of people who came here to have their voices heard. And that is, above all, what this place is about.
Joining us now with more is Juliette Kayyem, national security and foreign policy columnist for the Boston Globe. Juliette, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with that moment that we just heard the tape from of Kerry giving a nod to that protester. What'd you make of it?
Oh, I thought, I mean, you sort of the measure of a man in a moment like that. I thought his response was so appropriate. And what was amazing when you watched it, when you watched the entire hearing, and what I didn't anticipate was just how historic, there were so many sort of historic moments in it. There was the woman protester and Kerry remembering his, you know, his testimony after Vietnam or during Vietnam, the McCain-Kerry discussion about opening up Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Here are two Vietnam vets, and other aspects to it that made it oh my goodness, so different from yesterday, right? When Clinton testified before on the Benghazi incident, but also made it clear that and to be honest, somewhat boring that this is this man will be Secretary of State very soon.
Well, Julia, what do you think? I mean, he is on his way to becoming America's top diplomat, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it showed a diplomatic side to him. Does this give us a hint of what he might be as Secretary of State?
Yes, I think the takeaways from this and from that moment were certainly he really does think well on his toes, which I think is true. I think he was very quick to not condemn, which is always good with diplomacy. And then I think just listening to the substance of his answers to some of the questions was his focus on sort of the economy and how not just budgeting for the State Department, which came up both yesterday with Clinton and with Kerry today, but on how America's economic viability is in direct relation to our foreign policy strength, is a point that he is going to, you know, take around the world, but more importantly, take to the Senate. So he says that important line, your job is more important than mine to the Senate in terms of America's diplomacy, because if we can't think a long-term strategy for our foreign policy, or at least what the State Department can do in terms of their budgeting, then it's all over. I mean, anyone who's been in federal government knows that you can't hire, you can't think of new programs, you know. And so I thought that was a really important point, sort of pushing back in the same way Clinton did, that said, look, this is a team effort in some way, and you need to get our economic house in order.
Well, Juliette, I mean, in a way, Kerry was underscoring there what maybe, I don't know if people do or don't want to believe, is a basic truth about foreign policy, that confidence in American leadership abroad is predicated upon, you know, again, this question of confidence, whether we can, as Kerry said, get our act in order here at home. But I'm wondering, briefly, before we depart from this issue of Kerry's hearings today, what do you think his priorities are going to be going forward in his if he gets confirmed in his first couple months as Secretary of State?
Well, he's going to have to deal with Northern Africa. So he picked up on Secretary Clinton's theme about the changes in Northern Africa, the rise of the terrorist threat, as being of primary importance, not simply for U.S. security, but also for the security of the diplomats that we have working throughout that part of the land. So there is a long discussion about that. So, you know, your inbox is filled with what's on the front pages, and that's it. I think longer term, this economic theme, so to the extent that, that Clinton picked up the women and girls theme, this economic theme, which is important to carry our economic stability, but also as it relates to treaties and multinational efforts, so is going to be a theme that he picks up. So, and look, it's going to be a relative consistency. I think that's good given where we are in the world. I don't think there's not going to be tremendous changes, but I think in terms of priority focus, that's going to be it.
Juliet, we just got a minute or so to go here, but I did want to ask you, because you've written about this so eloquently in the past, and that is about the fact that Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, of course, announced yesterday that the Pentagon is lifting its ban on women in combat. Late last year, you wrote a great column in the Globe where you basically said, quote, "The Pentagon should have rules that reflect the society it defends."
Right.
So it seems to have done that now. But I'm just wondering sort of what your reaction is to what took them so long, because essentially the truth is that women have been in combat, especially in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Right. So over 150 women have died in uniform in Afghanistan and Iraq. I had written on this six times. It was a issue that was important to me on a personal level, but also it was just that there was no good defense of it. So at some stage, you just realize inertia was in play. So Panetta's press conference today makes, I think the way to think about it is this. Now the burden of exclusion is on the military, not the women. So that's all the changes. In other words, if you're going to exclude women, which might be allowed in some rare instances, or have standards that effectively exclude women, now the military leaders have to say to the Pentagon leadership, this is why, rather than not having that conversation. So that's a good flip, and I think is we're going to look back on this and think what took so long.
Juliet Kayyem is the National Security and Foreign Policy columnist for the Boston Globe. Juliet, thanks for joining us, as always.
Thank you so much.
Still to come on our program, our series Digital Lives continues. We look at the world of violent video games and how they affect the kids who grow up playing them. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.